made wisdom stood tall, knowing every step through the rise and the fall. In the pages of Proverbs, secrets unfold, revealing a treasure more precious than gold. Get wise, open your eyes, read a chapter. To get paid, to walk the right way, to make the right choices every single day, from the dawn of creation to the hustle and grind. Proverbs light the path for a clear state of mind. Get wise, open your eyes, read a chapter every day, you'll realize, guided by wisdom, let preparedness rise. Your lips like a vice, show people your wise. Get wise, open your eyes, read a chapter every day, you'll realize, guided by wisdom, let preparedness rise. Get wise, it's no surprise, a proverb a day will bring wisdom your way. Get wise, in every verse there's a lesson to learn, a spark of truth in every turn. So take a moment, let the word sink in. With every chapter, let the journey.
Well, good morning, everyone. Welcome back to Proverbs Every Day. My name is DJ. This is Thor. And we're here to welcome you once again. Reading from the Holman Christian Standard Bible today. Oof. Goodbye, Thor. But first, let me start with a word of prayer, and then we'll get right on going here. Father God, thank you so much for yet another day that you have created for us and that we have not had to do anything for. We didn't, you know, cause the sun to rise. We didn't do any of this kind of stuff. We just have it. Help us to not take that for granted, Father. Father, you created the entire world, the universe, around wisdom. And so, Father, today, let us not take that for granted. Let us be humble in approaching this and learn from the wisdom that you have for us, that we might partake in that creation today. Father, we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Yes. Okay. Here we go. Ah, there it is. Yeah. Weirdness with the tech. Just seems to be a thing. And again, because it's February, we're reading from Proverbs, a chapter ahead this week, and we'll be two chapters ahead by next week. Ooh, really confusing. but anyway, here we go. Proverbs 14, every wise woman builds her house, but a foolish one tears it down with her own hands. Whoever lives with integrity fears the Lord, but the one who is devious in his ways despises him. The proud speech of a fool brings a rod of discipline. Some sources say, or in addition to that, in the mouth of a fool is a rod for his back. Proud speech of a fool brings a rod of discipline, okay? But the lips of the wise protect them. Where there are no oxen, the feeding trough is empty or clean, but an abundant harvest comes through the strength of an ox. We've obviously, you know, we've talked about this one before, but it's kind of one of those where, especially the clean way to interpret this is saying that, you know, having a feeding trough or a barn that is clean doesn't mean that you're a clean person. It means you're not getting them to work. You know, that's just not a priority. The priority is to work. And that needs to be true in our lives. That's how an abundant harvest comes about. Verse 5, an honest witness does not deceive, but a dishonest witness utters lies. A mocker seeks wisdom and doesn't find it, but knowledge comes easily to the perceptive. Stay away from a foolish man. You'll gain no knowledge from his speech. A sensible man's wisdom is to consider his way, but the stupidity of fools deceives them. Go back and highlight number 7 here. I think this is a common deception, I would say, as far as the thought of who you should be around or who you should be listening to. And sometimes people can be smart, but still be foolish. And so if that's the case, then you're not going to gain knowledge from that. You are only going to participate in foolishness. And so it just being wise is being able to discern when that is the truth. And so if it's somebody who is just sounding smart, they're usually, I shouldn't say usually, maybe that's the wrong way to say it, but very often in our world, there are people that are very much about trying to sound smart for the sake of trying to appear smart, which is something else that is talked about. But we need to be able to learn to discern when that is the case or somebody is approaching it from humility. So even if they do have knowledge, they're not trying to bash you over the head with it. A distinction there. Back to verse 9. Fools mock at making restitution, but there is goodwill enough among the, sorry, there is goodwill among the upright. It's talking about guilt offerings there. The heart knows its own bitterness. No outsider shares in its joy. The house of the wicked will be destroyed, but the tent of the upright will stand or flourish. So see here that that's a house is destroyed, but a tent will stand. That's how powerful being upright is. Sorry, I've got a misbehaving kitty and I'm trying to decide if I want to yell at him or not. We'll see what happens here. Verse 12 is a very common one. There is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way to death. And so the common question becomes, well, what man? To what man? And, but every translation I've seen pretty much treats it the same way. So we're not really sure exactly 100% what that means. But there's some, I think the Amplified has some additional things about that, about being uninformed, that sort of thing. But yeah, fun stuff. Verse 13, even in laughter, a heart might be glad, but joy may end in grief. Or, and joy may end in grief. Huh? Hmm. It's often a confusing one there. It's hard to understand sometimes what that joy doesn't necessarily mean happiness. That you can have joy and grief. That is possible. Joy is a sense of overall contentment and comfort with the situation, where there is, you hear in the New Testament, you know, talking about there's joy in suffering, that sort of thing. Same kind of concept here, where it's like even laughter and a heart may be sad. In other words, that outward appearance of humor might be masking sadness. And I'm one of those people that very much I do that all the time. I do that very frequently. Actually, it's one of my most common defense mechanisms is laughter. It is possible. And so we need to be not just judging by the outward appearance and what we think we're seeing. We need to actually be realizing that there may be more to it. Verse 14, the disloyal one will get what his conduct deserves, and a good man what his deeds deserve. The inexperienced one believes anything, but the sensible ones watches his steps, or the prudent understand his steps. This is important for youth, especially. Every college I've ever encountered has specific challenges with this, in that they will be intending to challenge students' notions, and it's like a boot camp kind of a thing. But often you'll have teachers that will be going too far with that, and basically trying to replace their belief systems, and so it is important for us to be training up adults as they go to these places, that they are watching their steps. They're being sensible about these things, that they are not willing to just believe anything just because, you know, their teacher or their peers are saying it, but they're actually able to live out these things, which when you live something out, you're able to challenge notions about it. Just a quick thought there. Verse 16, a wise man is cautious and turns from evil, but a fool is easily angered and is careless. Or careless or falls, yeah. A quick-tempered man acts foolishly, and a man who schemes is hated. That one kind of breaks in the pattern, doesn't it? Usually we say, if, you know, this is one thing and that's the other thing. A quick-tempered man acts foolishly, and a man who schemes is hated. I think there might be another translation on that that treats that a little bit differently. Kind of matches the pattern. Let's take some time at the end and let's take a look at that. This is a methodology that is called, actually, this is kind of blending a couple of things, but this is literary criticism, where you're basically saying, if this is out of the pattern, why is that out of the pattern? Is our translation accurate? Are we, do we need to, you know, take some additional thinking in that sort of thing? Whenever we see a break like this in the midst of that sort of thing, it's like when a poem is rhyming and then suddenly doesn't, and so it signals that, you know, there might be something to pay attention to, and there might be something to learn here. So we'll take a look at that at the end. But let's get through this, the rest of this today. Verse 18, the inexperienced inherit foolishness, but the sensible are crowned with knowledge. The evil bow before those who are good, the wicked at the gates of the righteous. A poor man is hated even by his neighbor, but there are many who love the rich. The one who despises his neighbor sins, but whoever shows kindness to the poor will be happy. It is interesting to think of despising your neighbor as a sin, isn't it? But again, we have whoever shows the kindness of the poor will be happy. Notice that that's a reward in and of itself. It's not like they do something to get something back. You know, that's not what this is. They show kindness to the poor and they're happy. That's what is a result of that. It's not a reward. It's a result. It's a very different thing. Verse 22. Don't those who plan evil go astray? But those who plan good find loyalty and faithfulness. There is profit in all hard work, but endless talk leads only to the poverty. And words of the lips lead only to poverty. All right, let's take a beat on this one. It's hard for me to think about profit in hard work, because when I've seen the most peace and I guess you could say results, it has not been in working harder. It has been in learning new things and working through and increasing my talents and, you know, kind of making them amplified. And that's why I believe God has given us gifts, yes, but talents are things that should be amplified. Gifts are utilized, talents are amplified. We do more with them. We learn how to do more of those. And so in that I think I could interpret that as hard work. But the admonition here is that endless talk, if you just only ever talk about doing the work, that leads to poverty. And this is a really bad habit that I've gotten into in my life, is having ideas and saying them publicly. And all of a sudden that it just becomes all I do with it. It just becomes an idea. And it is very, very tough for me. Not sure if it's just like a ADHD thing or something that I was never actually diagnosed. Who knows? But it's one of those things where I very much have those squirrel moments where I get distracted and look at a new thing and talk about it like I'm going to do it. But then I don't. You know? So it leads only to poverty because I've now taken away that time that I could have been developing other talents and challenging myself in those ways. But anyway, there is profit in heart, and it says all hard work. And that's where I kind of get troubled in that of saying that, you know, for me, not all hard work has been truly profitable, but focused challenge has been. And so this is one thing I have to work through and make sure that I am okay with, because I'm obviously challenged by this. So not everything's perfect with this, I suppose, with me. But that's why I have that in green, because it's something for me to remind myself and struggle with. Verse 24, the crown of the wise is their wealth, but the foolishness of fools produces foolishness. This is always funny to me. Foolishness of fools produces foolishness. It's kind of one of those things where you want to just put that on a t-shirt. I think people will misinterpret it, but that's okay. Verse 25. A truthful witness rescues lives, but one who utters lies is deceitful. In the fear of the Lord, one has strong confidence, and his children have a refuge. In the fear of the Lord, one has strong confidence. Take a moment with that. I've been talking about this a lot, and it came up at church recently as well, in our church service, just talking about fear and how the culture is very much twisting what fear actually is. And the way I've said it is that we are participating in a training program, and we're being trained to fear everything. We're being trained to react to everything. Well, not everything needs to be reacted to, and I guarantee you pretty much nothing in our modern world needs to be truly feared. There's some things we need to avoid. There's some things we need to be cautious around, but certainly not fear. Now, we take all that fear and we put it squarely where it deserves, on the Lord, the one that could actually destroy us if he wanted to, the one who could actually harm us if he wanted to, the one that could ruin us if he wanted to, literally the only one that could. So that fear is well placed there. But we know it's also God. It's not, he doesn't change his countenance. He doesn't change who he is to match the circumstance. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And in that, we can have a strong confidence. So the fear of the Lord, one has strong confidence. That's what that means, is that we can live in that and know that, you know, if we place our fears in the right place and genuinely do it, don't just talk the words, work through that of saying, if I'm feeling fearful, I've misplaced it and I need to put it back where it belongs, and say, ooh, ooh. Genuinely, like be concerned. Ah, I took that away from God. Oh my goodness. Have that literal emotion about it. In that, there is confidence. In that, there is the ability to get past these things and let them just be shrugged off. The world is trying really, 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 really hard for that not to be true. And if you're hearing my voice today, I'm telling you right now, this needs to be a constant vigilance for you. It needs to be a constant vigilance for me. I fear a lot of things, and I don't want to, and I'm working on this myself. So I'm saying this as much for me as I am for you. You know, I have a lot of fears that I shouldn't have, and they're just ridiculous. They are utterly just silly when it comes down to it. If I put that in the Lord, though, if I feel that, like, ooh, that was stupid. Why am I even talking about that? God's so much bigger than that. Why do I fear that? God's so much bigger. The more when I do that, the more confidence I have. And I hope it'll be the same for you. I really do. I hope you have a way to connect with that. I can't make you fear the Lord. I can't. Verse 27, the fear of the Lord is a fountain of life, turning people away from the snares of death. It's weird that you have this positive right next to this negative, but it really is. This is why I don't like translations that just call this reverence, because it needs to be visceral. It needs to be there, because that is how we get to these things. It's how we get to these confidence in this fountain of life. It's how we get there. All right, here we go. Wow. Verse 28. A large population is a king's splendor, but a shortage of people is a ruler's devastation. A patient person shows great understanding, but a quick-tempered one promotes foolishness. Promotes foolishness. Pardon me. Okay. Too much preaching. Got to Dr. Coffin. Next time you're in traffic, next time somebody cuts you off or does something stupid, watch your reaction. Next time somebody's following you too close, watch your reaction. Are you quick to anger? Are you promoting foolishness? Verse 30, a tranquil heart is life to the body, but jealousy is rottenness to the bones. The one who oppresses the poor insults his maker. Bad idea. One who is kind to the needy honors him. Good idea. The wicked one is thrown down by his own sin, but the righteous one has refuge in his death. I'll have to take a second to look at that, but notice this part. Sorry, I was like, what did I want to highlight about that again? It's thrown down by his own sin. It's not the wicked one is thrown down by the righteous. But I believe what this is saying is that the righteous one has a refuge in the wicked one's death. But we'll cross-reference that just to be sure that that's actually what it's saying. But anyway, yeah, it's just catch it. That's a result, not a punishment. Don't get it twisted. Verse 33, wisdom resides in the heart of discerning. She is known even among fools. Or she's unknown among fools. Yeah, okay. Wisdom resides in the heart of the discerning. I like that. I like that. Verse 34, righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a disgrace to any people. Hello. That's hello yellow right there. Verse 35, a king favors a wise servant, but his anger falls on a disgraceful one. Indeed. I think I wanted that differently. Maybe. What is going on here? Ah. Gotta learn how things work, Deej. All right. Sorry about that. I wanted to do a cross-reference here. There's a couple things that I want to see, and I always find the Amplified to be one of the best things to do a cross-reference in when I have these kind of logistical kind of questions. So let's go to the first one I had the question about, pardon me, which is verse 17. Quick-tempered man acts foolishly, and a man who schemes is hated. Amplified says, a quick-tempered man acts foolishly and without self-control, and a man of wicked schemes is hated. Okay. The and is a kind of skipped, and sometimes it needs to be there. All right, what was the other one I wanted to look at? I wanted to look at verse 32. The wicked one is thrown down by his own sin, but the righteous one has refuge in his death. In the Amplified, it says, the wicked is overthrown through his wrongdoing, but the righteous has hope and confidence and a refuge with God, even in death. Okay, so that is actually what I was wondering if it meant. So it's just like, even in death not being a consequence here, death being the result of living, the righteous has hope and confidence and refuge even in that process, even there. It's good stuff. Yeah. This was actually this is one of those fun chapters where there's just a lot to process here. So thanks for hanging with me. I know this became a little longer, but I don't know. Sometimes I just feel like I need to say things and remind myself and also remind you in the process. So thanks for bearing with me. And yeah, we'll plan on seeing you next time. Once again, oh yeah. You know what? I'm not ready for that announcement. There's something else coming. I'm reviving an email server that I had and just making sure things are still working with it. And so the idea is to be able to have you able to sign up for updates and that sort of thing. And reminders about, you know, keeping up with the reading here and keeping up with the Proverbs, just accountability, that sort of thing. There's some systems that I have used previously that I've not really had in place lately. One of which I'm looking at to be able to do literally like sending you text messages if you want them, that sort of thing. And so there's a cost to that service, so I'm trying to figure out how that's going to work. But just some things about that I'm trying to see as we go here, what would make sense for folks. And so so yeah, I think I'll probably be calling some people to test that out for me soon. So we'll see how that goes. I'm a little concerned about, like I was saying about earlier, about having things that I'm starting but aren't really what I should be doing. And so a lot of this kind of stuff I'm holding up and saying, okay, is this where you want me, God, and that sort of thing. So certainly be praying for me, and if you have any thoughts or comments or anything like that, I'm more than welcome them. But I'm starting to look at how we can continue to expand this. It's nice to think about like having five or six people in the room with me here, which is really mind-blowing. But I think this is a message that needs to be to a lot more people in the world. And so, seeing how we can work together to make that happen is something that I'm thinking more and more about. And so, it's a part of the process. So we'll see you soon with that. We'll be back here tomorrow for a happy Valentine's Day. And we'll be reading Proverbs 15. So until then, be blessed by the best, and then go be a blessing to all the rest. Love you guys, and we will see you once again tomorrow. Bye now.